Well, good morning, everybody. We changed the subject to what we were going to preach on to something that we feel is relevant for the church now and the season that we're in. And that is being a house of prayer. We really felt it on our heart to speak about this together. And so if you remember, at the beginning of the year, Gav came to us and shared with us about it being Buttershaw Baptist Church being a place of prayer, being a house of prayer, and we felt really strongly about that. And you've noticed that on Wednesdays the prayer meet, they made it really cushy up there with the seats, and it's really nice up there, the atmosphere, and we just feel that it's a time that we're in, the season we're in, to all of us to be in that place of just praying more. You know, I've seen firsthand what it looks like in Brazil, where one man has the vision, a bit like what Gav did, and starts praying, and his church got around him, and that was in the Four Square Church in Brazil, and that expanded from that one church and spread not just through Brazil but through South America, and there's great revival because one man, and I've met this guy and he's the most humble man you could ever meet, and he was just a normal fella like Gav who heard from God and just wants to just take that vision of praying more. And it's for all of us. And it also takes us back to the picture that Merrill had for healing rooms at the beginning, about 3 years ago, was it? About 3 years ago, about healing rooms being a well, that healing would flow from that well. And we would be a house of prayer. And that's going back 3 years. I believe we are now in a time we are now tapping into the wells of Smith Wigglesworth 100 years ago in Bradford. It was well known all over the world. We are, if you think about it, we run the only healing rooms in Bradford, and we're seeing great miracles come from this place every Friday night. We're seeing legs grow out. We're seeing people travel from far, because they've heard about Buttershaw healing rooms. A fella come just 2 weeks ago, all the way down from Carlisle, and walked away pain-free. 2.5 hours, you know. That's what we're about. That's because people are seeing us on a database. People are hearing about this church. We have been put on the map, you know. But God has also called us to be houses. God has also called us to be houses, like in the book of Acts. You know, there was two in the book of Acts, in Acts 10 and 11. I'm just going to skirt around them because Louise is going to be going into the Bible more than me this morning. But in 10 and 11, where miracles, signs and wonders took place in Simon's house and John Mark's house. And that's in Acts 10 and 11. I have a vision that I want to see our neighborhood with watchmen on the walls, who evangelize, who take it out onto the street. It's like a church without walls, where healing signs and wonders are out there on Buttershaw. Imagine if we were all in these mighty men planted in our houses all over Buttershaw, and people heard about them, and people come into your house and say, I've heard that somebody got healed here. You know, somebody got healed. I've heard that they bring friends. This is what it's about. Buttershaw is our land. It's up to us to go out and speak to our friends and tell them about Jesus, to heal the sick, and to take the church from within a building out onto the streets. We are at healing rooms, are starting to go out onto the streets and take it into people's homes. We are seeing Fridays getting busier and seeing more and more people walking away with the miracle that they came for, because Jesus meets them where they're at. They come expecting, and Jesus sees that their sacrifice on coming out on snowy nights, and they walk away pain-free. In Nehemiah 3, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of a broken city by assigning families to certain parts of the wall. In chapter 3, he refers to the house where the mighty men lived. Let's be those mighty men and women of God rebuilding the walls, seeing it, bringing healing signs and wonders to Butter Shaw. You know, I'm just going to... There, look, I love this film. I don't know, them that's got children, these are the Incredibles. And I love this family. I've watched it about 50 times with Noah. And I still love it. And those that don't know what the Incredibles, it paints a beautiful picture of what normal Christianity could look like. For those that don't know, the Incredibles are a family of superheroes, each with their unique gifting, living undercover and yet out to save the world. And that should be us. Yeah. So I'm just going to pass you on to Louise now. She's never spoke before. And she's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I've just spoken.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we've got some verses, Alex. Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah, so these are some verses that I found relating to prayer. So Matthew 7. I ask and I keep on asking and I receive and I keep seeking and I keep on seeking and I find and I knock and I keep on knocking at the door and it's opened unto me. My version might be a little bit different to yours. But I really like this verse about praying because it's sort of prayer and petition, isn't it? It's not, please God, do this, done. It's I ask and I keep on asking and I receive and I seek and I keep on seeking. And sometimes, you know, we have to keep going, don't we? We have to keep going with stuff that we're pressing in for and we're waiting for and it seems to take ages, but that's okay. And in Romans 8, verse 26, it says, the Holy Spirit comes to me and bears up my weaknesses. For I do not know what prayer to offer now, you know, don't know what to say, how to offer it worthily as I ought, but the Spirit himself goes to meet my application and pleads on my behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Again, you know, when you don't have the words to say and something just feels really difficult, the Holy Spirit will help you. And, you know, that's where the gift of tongues can sometimes come in, can't it? And sometimes people come to healing rooms and I just feel so sort of overwhelmed by what they're going through. I don't have the words, so we just pray in tongues to start with, don't we? Okay, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. I will unceasingly in prayer keep praying perseveringly. And again, you know, for 2018, the year we're in now as our church, you know, let's keep praying unceasingly. And let's try and make that as fun as we can and do it together. There are many types of prayer. Again, I was sort of thinking, let's go through the different types of prayer and explain each one individually. And I was like, oh, that's quite a lot, because there's almost as many types of prayer as there are types of emotions. If you go through Proverbs and Psalms and things, every emotion is a prayer to God, isn't it? Every thought, every feeling, every hope, every dream, every wish, every yearning is a prayer. There's worshipful prayer, silent prayer, intercession. So if you, that's a Christianity word, isn't it, intercession? But that's like praying over an area and wanting to see God move or interceding for a situation. Again, not just a quick arrow prayer, although we do some of those sometimes, don't we? Please give me a parking space. there's angry prayers. That's okay, isn't it? It's okay to be angry, isn't it? When things don't go well and someone dies, it's okay to be angry. God's not bothered by your anger. He's not afraid of that. He's not, you know, he loves us. It's okay to sort of wave your fists in the air, isn't it? Smash a plate. If things aren't going well. Yeah, yearning prayers, fear prayers. So we've been doing a few of those in our house with little Noah. He's three, he's starting to have nightmares. So again, sort of presenting Jesus into the situation when we're frightened. Deliverance prayers, healing prayer, and then again the gift of tongues. So again, there's plenty of opportunities in the church to get involved in prayer. Obviously, you know, get activated in your homes, pray with your spouses, pray on your own, pray in your room, pray in the bath, pray in the shower. But yeah, we all know about Mavis on a Wednesday. You know, if you're free, do join her. Healing rooms, Tuesday mornings, Friday nights. Prayer nights. So over the next year, we're going to try and do prayer nights every 6 to 8 weeks. You know, worship together, have a theme, really go after that, depending on what God's saying in that season. Will has started a group on Wednesday mornings. I think they meet in the church hall. And that's for family centre staff and trustees. But again, I'm sure if you're around and you want to join in, that would be good. Home visits. Yeah, we're doing more and more home visits in pairs. If you know someone that needs prayer and they can't access us here, ring me, text me, Facebook me, post a note through my door, and probably within 48 hours, we will get two people to their house to pray for them. Life groups. Most of us are in life groups, not all of us, but we start off every life group by just going around the room. How are you? What's happening? What do you need prayer for? It's probably one of the best bits of our life group, isn't it? And we go on for hours. Sometimes I don't do what we're supposed to, but that's okay. Yeah, so private messaging, healing rooms, Facebook notifications on the church page. Again, that can seem a bit public, can't it? But we're a closed group and we love each other. If you're at home and you need a prayer and you need a prayer quickly, you know, just put a little note on the Facebook page. People won't mind. It's okay. And immediately, I'm sure people will be activated to pray for you and message you. We stand together. We love each other. And then prayer for Bradford. Twee brought up at our last sort of cluster meeting, perhaps pursuing prayer for Bradford, you know, being part of something a little bit bigger for our community and our city. So I think we're going to explore that a little bit as well. Yeah, so what are some of the answers God will give you if you pray? I was thinking about this as well. I guess there's kind of three answers, isn't there? First of all, it's the best answer, isn't it? And it's yes. Please, God, please give me enough money to pay my bills, and you get the money. Brilliant. Yes. I think that's our favourite answer for everything. The second possible answer when we pray is God will say, wait. Now, that's certainly been something that I've had to do. So I was single for 12 years, and that was a long time. I had to wait. I believed God would provide me with a husband. It was a long time coming, but it did happen in the end. And God provides people in the waiting. When you're waiting for your breakthrough, when you're waiting for your miracle or whatever, you know, God will give you people that will walk alongside you and encourage you and stop you feeling like you're crazy, hoping for something that is never going to happen. And I believe as well, sort of around the realm of prophecy, sometimes you might be given a word or a prophecy and it's not right. So, you know, test it in your heart. Is it aligning itself with the Bible, firstly? Secondly, is God saying it to you anyway? Like, sometimes when someone gives me a word, I was like, oh yeah, I was kind of feeling that, but I wasn't really sure. God will always confirm. You know, he's not a God of confusion. He's not sort of wanting to trick you. If he's saying something, he'll say it again, and he'll say it again, and he'll say it again. And it will come through many different forms, and keep writing it down. And God will also give you a word from the Bible, and he'll speak to your heart about it. Waiting is pants, but it does something, doesn't it? It does something to our hearts, doesn't it? It teaches us perseverance and patience. Helps us to have faith. Yeah, and then the hardest answer of all is no. You know, and I've had lots of discussions with people, does God say no? Well, I think he does. I think he does close doors. It's not no, like, I hate to say no to Noah. It's not, oh, no, that's never going to happen, you know, how dare you ask me. It's, I think, you know, he loves us and he's working all things together for our good. So if you don't get the job you thought you were going to go, you know, that God was saying was right for you, grieve it, Grieve it, yeah. But then let it go. Trust that he's got a better plan for you. Trust that even in the midst of, you know, darkness and despair, he's working all things together for your good. Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking about the film Bruce Almighty. We've all seen it. You know, if we answered everyone's prayer, you know, chaos ensued, didn't it? Everyone won the lottery and it wasn't very good. Yeah, trust him in the chaos. Yeah. And then I just had my own testimony of people coming to visit me at home. last summer I was off work with chest pain and I was having investigations for a PE, which is a clot on my lung, and God healed me. And it was Liz and Alex that came and visited me at home. This was crucial to my healing and I realised how important home visits were. When you're really sick or you're in a bad way or you're depressed or whatever, it's so hard to access prayer through church. Sometimes you just need someone to come to you. And Matthew 25, verse 36 says, I was sick and you looked after me, and I was in prison and you came to visit me. And I was thinking, sickness, depression, loneliness, you know, they're prisons too. Let's be community, let's be family, let's check in with one another, let's make sure we're all doing okay. And let's not be ashamed to say, yeah, would you just meet me? It doesn't have to take long, does it? 20 minutes, half an hour. Just get someone to come around and pray with you. I'm called to be iron, sharpening iron. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I absolutely love being a Christian and walking alongside, I've been a Christian 20 years, walking alongside people with different giftings to mine. And I've kind of learned as well this whole speaking in love thing. You know, when you get it wrong or you know, people will challenge you. But if you love them and you're in relationship with them, it doesn't necessarily have to hurt, does it? It might be a little bit, oh, I didn't really want to hear that. But I don't mind. I don't mind being told that I could improve in an area, especially if it's going to bring me freedom. You know, I want to get free. I want to have a good relationship with God. I want to be using my giftings. I want to be walking in the anointing that God's given me, because then I'm the happiest and the most content I've ever been. It's not that everything's perfect, but I know I'm living sort of in the center and the absolute bullseye of God's will for my life. Live in community, it sharpens and it deepens. You know, and I feel like it really does give God access to all of you. You know, where we live, there's a few families on our street, isn't there? You know, we all see each other all the time. Living kind of in a goldfish bowl, but it feels good. It feels all right. Yeah. And what does praying together do? So, yeah, obviously pray on your own. Like I say, that's really good. And the Bible really likes us to do that. Jesus likes us to do that. Go and pray on your own in your room. You know, don't make a song and dance about it. But praying with other people, Yeah, it does really sharpen you. And Gary mentioned earlier about redigging the old wells in Bradford. And I believe this too. You know, what we're doing here on Buttershaw, it's also for our city. We're a city on a hill and we're called to be a light. So let's shine. Let's get free, be free. And let's try and set others free too. So, what I thought would be good is you can't really talk about prayer without doing some. So, whoever you're sat with, it's not a coincidence. it's an appointment with God this morning. So, in a minute, I'm going to get you into sort of twos and threes. And you might want to be with someone that you actually really know quite well and you trust. Because we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer line by line and pray for each other around some of the themes in that. But first of all, we all know the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Does anyone not know it? Shall I just say it quick? So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom... Say it with me. It will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for that is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so most of you will be familiar with that. So let's start with the first line. So jump onto your feet enthusiastically. Hooray. Okay, so the first line is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means honor as holy. So God is creator of the universe. He loves you. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and he has a plan for you. So let's, just for a couple of minutes, let's be really brave, and let's just speak out some praises to God. Honor him as holy, and then we'll come back together. So do it all together out loud now. Go. Yeah. 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 Yeah, so that leads us on really nicely to looking at the next line. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So getting to groups of two, three, and pray for each other. Pray and share situations in your life where you know it needs heaven's intervention. You know, pray for situation where it needs a miracle. Maybe you need a miracle. Pray for that. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. And as Dave was saying about bringing your heart into alignment with God, yeah, you know, ask God to really work on your heart. What is he saying about that situation? And let's just spend a few minutes doing that. Be vulnerable with each other. That's okay. All right.
The king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, always my soul. And let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, always my soul. Yes, you are God. Yeah.
Okay, how's everyone doing? Are we ready to move on to the next bit? So the next line is, give us this day our daily bread. So what I thought would be good to pray for next in our groups, feel free to stay in your group or move around. You might be happy where you are. It's not wrong to ask God for what we want or need. You know, not prosperity teaching here by any stretch, believe me. But what we're going to do is, if you've got a need, if you need some provision, if you need a new washing machine or you need a job, or you could do with a little bit extra in your finances every month, that's okay to ask God for. So in your groups, be honest and vulnerable again if you can. And let's just pray for anything you need. Okay, daily bread is food, isn't it? But it's a little bit more than that in God's kingdom, isn't it? So let's do some praying around that.